Anyway, good. We can start talking a little bit. So all the introduction and you know, this idea, what do we do now with this work, and from the perspective that you can also individually have beyond the prison work we are doing. So it would be useful to have your perspectives, so we can start also without too much ambition, and just also from very small examples. So I brought this bigger question about is it worth being patient, which seems to be wise, or should we also be aware that sometimes it's there's a risk of becoming accomplice of something you would like actually to change? So what do you all think? I
May
know
I?
you're, yeah, good, Pedro, yeah.
Well, I think coming from my experiences in social architecture or the free school that we are developing here in on the other side of the German border in Switzerland, I have many times the feeling that no one wants to waste resources in things that are not practical. But I have also the feeling that sometimes to have some extra resources in times of being patient or of quietness, in which there is not a lot to do, it can be good to use in dimensions that usually are not so much focused in the everyday life of these sort of projects. For example, when doing projects of social architecture, it seems like all of the resources have to go into whether the communication with the community, in the administration of the plans, the drawing of the plans. You know about architecture, Paolo. And yet, sometimes the philosophical discussions are abandoned because there is no time for them. Though at the end, they come back to you like 2 or 5 years later, in which the society is prepared to take on board these discussions that you were having there, but you never put resources on developing them. So I see that in all these projects, everyone is running, trying to do practical things because it seems it's justified to expend resources on doing practical stuff, but no one wants to invest any time on going into foundational critiques or discussions about the very foundations of what you are doing or the very system you are trying to change with your actions. So I don't know if that's being complice. I don't think so. It's just maybe you are being quiet at that moment. You are not doing things that it looks are going to have any impact in the near future. But well, they may have the biggest impact in 5 years.
Yeah, I think probably for what I understand, Pedro, you're suggesting that a conversation like the one we are having now is fundamental. So investing also time and well, investing is a word that I'm not sure we like it very much, but spend the time, dedicate time to have conversations with the resources like the people that are here now.
Well,
Would be,
also
would be great.
I remember this kind of sort of workshop that we did in the project with a lot of people, in which other scholars were also participating. I mean, that takes also time and resources to develop, but I think it was really worthy, and to continue that kind of things can fit the project for the next years to come.
Thanks. I think it goes in the direction that Mark is suggesting. Mark is actually suggesting maybe thinking to a series or a series of workshops where we could start to expand the debate, and not because we know already what is the direction, but actually talking with people coming from different backgrounds, starting to understand where it's worth dedicate energies. So
Just to be sure I'm understanding correctly, this series of workshop, or anyway, the conversation is going towards what we are going to do in the prison or beyond the prisons. So this series of workshops, for example, they would be not necessarily within the prisons, or are they?
Everything has to be imagined, but I think at the moment, not necessarily in the prison, at least from my point of view. No. Actually, in a sense, we are talking about walls, and we are challenging the idea of walls. So we are not just working inside, we are, in a sense, pretending that walls don't exist. So we can work independently inside and outside. And in this moment, probably involve a wider community would be wise, probably. Yeah.
Just to add to that, Paolo, I think with the Scottish Prison Service, there's inside Grampian Prison, but then also to what extent might similar things happen in other Scottish prisons, and then there's outside. So I see three different levels: Grampian Prison, Scottish prisons in general, and then not in prisons at all. Jane wanted to jump in, I think.
Yeah, and there's Sylvia as well, I wanted to say.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sylvia, would you like to go first?
No, go. If it is immediately related to, no, go ahead.
Okay. I hope what I'm going to say is helpful. I'm probably a little bit cynical, so please jump in, and if you disagree with anything I'm about to say, because I think that the question poses some really important things. So I've been working in the third sector for probably most of my working life. So it's never been a paradise. It's always been fraught with tension and a sense of despair sometimes, but also one of the things that we do weave into everything is hope. So I think one of the things that is very important to realize that certainly in Scottish society today, we have an overwhelming need for radical social reform, particularly our public sector bodies. Now, that call for reform is getting louder and louder and louder as more and more systems are breaking down. So, in the midst of this is our third sector, who are scrabbling around for money all the time in lots of different pockets, but they survive and they keep going because they're supporting the most vulnerable in society. So, from their point of view, every single pound is worth it, and every action they do with the most vulnerable in our society is worth it. Whether we get our statutory bodies on board or not is the big question. And what you find with many statutory bodies is they're enormous, unwieldy animals that thrash themselves way through the jungle. Sometimes they're likened to aircraft carriers that take about 12 hours to turn right. So they're not very agile, they're not very responsive, and they kind of have a life of their own. But at the same time, they're soaking up huge amounts of resources from the national purse. So at the moment in Aberdeen, but in Scotland particularly, I'm working in well-being and health, so I'm not working in criminal justice. But within well-being and health, there are obviously massive connections, given that our prison communities are probably the most traumatized in any community that we have. So at the moment, we know for a fact that the NHS Scotland has an annual budget of £21.7 billion a year. We know that Grampians percentage of that comes to about 1.2 billion, and yet we have health and social care partnerships that are not just thirsty but dying for that money, dying for that replenishment, dying for that renewal, dying to change everything, and the money isn't trickling down. And the whole idea is, oh well, it should be coming down in waves, but it isn't. So there's a lot of historical reasons for that, which I won't go into, but the very situation we face at the moment is it's kind of backs against the wall. And I think when you look at Run Forever and what you've tried to do in 2 years is quite phenomenal. So to have five applications and have five successful applications is an absolute credit to yourselves, because that isn't easy. In terms of the last 2 years, we're seeing funding being squeezed to such an extent that nobody within my office, and some of them have been there for 25 years, has ever seen anything like this. So one of the things that we do know, one of our major trusts, which is the Robertson Trust in Scotland, has had a 3,000% increase in the funding that they put out every year. And we're seeing that picture across. So as more and more funding streams close and become very stringent in terms of eligibility, we're seeing this happening across the country, and our third sector are having a very difficult time. So in the midst of this, Run Forever have completed five applications. You have your money for the year ahead. And I think that's something to be really cherished. It's something that's really special. But the other thing is that our talks about well-being and health must include our criminal justice system, because these people are, they have very little voice and they're left completely on their own most of the time. So I think in health and well-being, the connection between criminal justice and community justice is really important. And one of the overriding themes that is really being shaped in the last couple of years is community. And this is exactly what Paolo was saying about where does community come into all of this? And so we're looking in Grampian at, if I can say, pockets of the future that are going to take us from here to there, and they are happening. They're small, sometimes they're growing, and a momentum is coming. And one of those pockets is a thing called community appointment days, where we've got consultants, GPs, the third sector, all in the same room. There's talks. There's places to go for support. It's a one-stop shop. And we're utilizing that for waiting lists for people that haven't seen people in 8 years. So that's for chronic pain, for dementia. The last one was COPD last week for respiratory issues. And they're seeing up to 150 to 200 people a day. So, and the brilliant thing about it is we've got a synergy between our NHS colleagues that are working with our community colleagues, our community organisations, and suddenly realising, hang on a minute, we all think the same way. What can we do together? So that's been wonderful, and that's been stopped in the past from getting everyone together for what the patient or the person with a condition actually needs. So I think what I want to say is, I think it is very, very tricky, and it maybe hasn't been so tricky, but that's part of change. And I think everybody understanding that what's happening right now is not good, it's not helpful. But I never would think that anybody within the charitable sector is complicit. All of us know and rage against why on earth is this happening? But it is happening, and that's the reality. So what we have to do is try to form a critical mass or a grouping and think tanks of people like yourselves that are thinking in very different ways about who we are as human beings, what is community, where is our sense of belonging, what gives us health and well-being, keeps us well. And I think all these questions are out there, and we do have think tanks. And I think a series of workshop is a really good idea. But I also think as well, you might find that if you're, I think Paolo and I have talked about the idea of a Trojan horse. So when you have staff members inside a prison seeing things change and seeing people change and saying, well, hang on a minute, what's that all about? Suddenly you're sowing seeds of something very different happening. And I think often change comes through very small things. But also it's about that wider vision about, well, what do we stand for? Why are we part of our community? What does that mean? And I think there's a huge amount of people in Scotland and across the UK really, really raging up against the current situation. And this is, well, cracks are appearing, but we haven't had any volcanoes yet, but we're hoping to have a few. And I think it can't go on as it is. And I know one person that's behind these community appointment days has put together a strategy called Putting People First. And surprisingly, the NHS Grampian has said, we love this. We're going to have this, and we're going to do it. We're going to start implementing it. So that gives us a lot of hope that things are beginning to change and turn, and turn into a better direction. So I'm not going to give you any false hope, but I am going to say there's a huge amount of conversations that I have every day that people are beginning to see that the situation, society that we live in today is very, very broken. And maybe that's always been the case, but it still shouldn't stop us trying to do something about it. So I don't know if that's given you any hope or dismayed you even more, but I don't think that you should ever feel that you're accomplices because you're thinking and doing different things and you're not part of the machine. You're freestanding, and that's what you have in the third sector, and that's what you have as charity. So that is incredibly important. And I don't want you to ever underestimate what you've been able to achieve in just 2 years. It's phenomenal. So I hope
Thank
that's a
you.
little bit helpful.
Thank you, Jane.
If you disagree with
Thank you.
anything.
It's just, it's helpful for sure. Thanks for your perspective. But, being an accomplice, it's always a risk. And of course, conversation like this one make us understand where we are if we are just, sleeping a little bit and because we have received some money or if we are still trying to bring awareness on what we are doing. So let's see what Sylvia maybe has to say. I don't know if she, you, Sylvia, you are.
I just wanted to also really say first that you should be so proud, you all. I haven't really done anything, so let's be clear. But you should really be proud of what you accomplished in 2 years. And I do understand the difficulty of working, of feeling, am I part of the system now? Am I, an accomplice, etc. But I do also feel that if by any chance you would take the decision to stop doing the marvelous work that you are doing, then the first ones who are going to suffer are the prisoners. I mean, and I think that the fact that you are actually independent from an economic point of view, because you're not asking for, money, like you are funding your own activities, your own projects. This puts you in a position of strength, I think. I very much like I am an accomplice totally within a university system that is quite broken, as you know, and we are all asked to, yes, constantly, apply for funding and basically doing everything but teaching and doing research to some extent. But still, when one thinks about, okay, we do need to try to stay, I think, within these systems, each of us in a way that doesn't compromise too much with one's own ideals and et cetera, because otherwise the ones that are going to pay the price are the students, in my case, the prisoners, in yours. So I do welcome very much the idea of running a series of workshops and involving also, the as you said, the kind of more senior management staff, but also people from the local community, because I wonder whether people, really just people who live nearby or people of the area that you're working in are actually aware of this type of work that you're doing. Because probably after a few years, maybe people who are going to who have been attending your Feldenkrais, the RAN program, etc., maybe are going to leave the prison and then they are going to show and demonstrate with their own life that they benefited from, what they experienced inside the prison. So I wonder whether you're also planning to find ways of maybe advertising. I don't like the word, but spreading the word a little bit more about what you're doing. I don't know whether it's by using social media. I'm very bad at that stuff. So maybe, but I, and
Well,
also, I, have you been thinking about, because now you're, recording whatever we are discussing, but are you going to find a way of documenting also these workshops and maybe think about, I know that it's a bad word, output. I know that you hate that, so don't beat me up. But maybe I'm cynical, Paolo, and I don't know. Maybe again, maybe I'm playing devil's advocate, but I kind of feel you kind of one does need to make other people also working in other organizations know that it is possible to work differently, to kind of have to carve out time for this type of conversations and still be busy with running things like activities. So yeah, these were the my kind of two things trying to and yes, involving the universe, like we are setting up at the university, although yes, as you know, all universities now are experiencing a huge financial crisis that yeah, and let's leave that aside maybe for another conversation. But I, for instance, there's this Health Humanities and Through the Arts program, and I think it would really benefit from having someone from that program coming to one of the workshops and learning, first of all, really, and sharing maybe experiences and maybe involving also a few students. I think there is an appetite for that because at least inside the university, we are really longing, staff and students alike, maybe not senior managers, but staff and students alike are longing for, trying to find a sense and building bridges. But also think about documenting, like trying to find a way of, I mean, I'm not saying doing a sort of ethnography, but to some extent, my fear is that all these kind of conversations and experiences, and even the little things, the nuances of what's going on in the in the prison gets lost because you can't
Well,
do everything. Like, so I and I shut up. This
what
is
is no, thanks. Well, actually, what is in my
Excuse
possibilities?
me.
I am
Sorry,
doing
sorry.
that.
Can
Yes.
I just say that I need to go something unexpected, and I'll catch up with you, Paolo. If I can say just one thing
Yeah,
before
absolutely.
going. So
Yeah.
apologies to really intrude here, but thank you, Jane, for what Jane, yes, or
Yes.
yeah, sorry, for what you said. I think it's really positive, actually. Paolo, if we want to change the system, we need to work also not only within the prison, for example, or the criminal justice system, but I think the what Jane said, the work with the well-being and health, the fact that there are so many prisoners, yeah, and that there are that and everywhere. I don't know of many places where prisons are not places of unwellness, say in every possible. It means that our society is not well. Yeah. So well-being, for me, it's the key word for the work that Run Forever is doing anyway. But the other thing is I agree with, I mean, I would support the series of workshops outside the prison with society or members of society, other members of society, because it's not only the member of staff in the prison that need to shift their mind. It's actually every one of us. Every one of us thinks about prisoners or prisons, a place where people who have done some things which are unacceptable by society must go. And everybody thinks, or the majority thinks, they need to be punished. So it's a punitive system. And there is a lot that can be done or should be done also outside, in schools, for example, starting when children are very little, to instill a different idea of what's happening and why people may end up in prison. Yeah. And that it's not a problem with individuals is a, as Bateson would say, actually, is a problem with the relationship of all the components of a society. And so there are so many other ways in which this systemic change can be supported, and I think we could start maybe widening, as it's already been suggested here, widening the area, say, of intervention or work, not intervention, but work. I don't think, and with this I will go, I don't think one can ever be complicit as long as there is a level of awareness and especially consciousness about why someone is doing, I mean, why are you doing this? Why are we here? If we don't lose sight of the reasons why we are doing here, we will never be complicit with a system with which sometimes you just have to cope with, you know, because I don't think you can always be on in a war, in an open war at least. Sometimes you just have to have time of, you know,
Well,
of,
I think we are never, we
yeah.
have never been in a war. Sometimes actually it's that's why I raised the question. It's because I have a sense that sometimes we are too much friend, too friendly. So sometimes I don't know which is the limit where we should sometime push in order to respect the energy we have as an organization, but not just us. I mean, as human beings, where we should actually respect the work and the energy we have.
Yeah,
So,
I agree, but what Sylvia already said, what if you, I mean, yeah, the withdrawing from prisons and from this work is always a possibility. Yeah. So would that make you feel better? Because I don't think that in all these 2 years there hasn't, I am sure that what you have done in these past 2 years has touched more lives than possibly, you know, it appears. And so sometimes you also need to wait a long time before you see any result. But I think it's valuable work. And so I honestly don't feel that we are accomplished by doing this work, even if there are limits, and the limits are set by the system and not by us. But the alternative would be to not do this. And so we can discuss ways of doing it. But I think that if we start asking whether it's worth or not worth doing it any in itself, then I would say it is worth doing. Yeah. But I'm really, really sorry, but there's an unexpected
No
visit,
worries. Thanks, Emilio.
and I
Thank
need
you
to
very much.
go because it's
Thank you. Thank you
okay.
very much.
I'll catch up with you, Paolo.
Thanks for your
Really
perspective.
nice to have seen all of
Thank you.
you. And Uche, we haven't had the opportunity to talk. I hope there will be another one soon. Okay, bye.
Yes, thank you,
Bye bye,
Emilio.
Emilio.
Bye
Bye.
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 Uche, I don't know, you had probably, I don't know if you had a.
Oh, okay. So I think so for me, I know the when I feel like I am onto something is when I start to ask or doubt myself a lot and ask, okay, why am I doing what I'm doing? And I think the fact that you are asking, you know, are we accomplices to the system is proof that you are not, because you are very aware that you are railing against the system. And it's for me, that is always a sign that, you know, you are on the right path. I think having heard everyone, so it's interesting for me to listen to the discussions because I get a lot of context. I'm new in the environment. Things are sort of different from where I'm from, the way things work back where I'm from. So and it's interesting to see that everything is different, but everything is still the same, right? So with there's still the same resistance with authorities, with these big like government bodies, everything is slow. And I think Just I think Mark said something when he said, you know, trying to get the something about trying to get those at the top of the system, sort of let them have an idea of what we are doing. And I think that's very key, and which is where the workshops come in. And what in my head, what I'm seeing is that, okay, we want to do this for the prisoners. It will also help the staff. And I'm just thinking if there is a way to also incorporate some number of prisoners, some members of staff, some members of the higher ups in the workshop so that we can co-create, we can together. So yes, we have this vision, this idea of what we want to do,
That
but
would be a really good
yeah, so
idea.
it's a big co-created thing. So where it's sort of like, okay, we're coming to the workshop saying this is what we want to do, this is how we want to do it, but you are the people that are going to be doing more of the heavy lifting, sort of, because the prisoners are going to have to show up. The staff at the prisons are going to have to want to feel committed enough to, you know, yes, it might be some extra work, some emotional labor involved in getting them like to different places, to different halls. But if they feel part of it, if they have some sort of ownership in the process, I'd like to think that they would be willing to take on that emotional labor. Because it's not going to happen. It's going to be, we're trying to, like Paolo said, we're trying to create a community thing. It's not like a project we're delivering. So this is going to be something that should feel like it's theirs as well. So
Yeah,
I think
sense of
if,
belonging.
yes, so I think if we can work around the workshops, making everyone feel like it is their own. So like we're just coming here to sort of facilitate, you know, like yeah, they're just hi, we're just facilitating this, but you know, it's all for us. I think we'd also be able to get their input on why maybe why they feel it's difficult, why they feel it's a lot more stress. Because I mean, we're getting you move the prisoners to a place and Paolo or Stephanie takes charge of the session. So really, your job is just the moving. So why is that? Like, let's try and understand sort of why they find that part such a difficult thing. Then try and understand from the prisoners, okay, why is it so difficult for you to come continuously? What is happening and how can we work around it? So that's just my thinking, trying to understand all different contexts, because I feel we all want it to work. Even them, they want it to work. But like I said, everything is different, but it's the same. Back home, I know there's just that initial resistance to change, which again is what I tend to be seeing happening. So again, not different. But the context, the why might be different. And I think if our workshops, yes, go a long way to educating people about what we want to do, it can also educate us on how better to help them. And I think that would be hugely important in the work we're trying to do, especially navigating the system, because if the system tells us that this is how they feel we can help them, then we know how to work with that dysfunctional system or how to guide that system to change. But it has to, the system has to be involved in the process. They sort of have to want to change as well. And that's just my little two pence.
No, thank you. Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much. Thanks. Not sure if I don't know the Fiona, Jenny that have probably Mark as well as not yet. Maybe since you are all together, I don't know if there's anything that you want to add to the conversation and maybe resonate with some of the things that have been said by the guys here.
Well,
Jenny also listens to me every day and every Thursday, and she feels all the sometimes the good things, but also not the very good things.
I say here I'm probably just the less
Positive.
Yes, positive.
I am
So you
more.
see, that's why I asked her.
Deep fellow, you
No,
done.
but I don't want to say anything. It's just that Paolo knows sometimes that I look at him and say, you know that you can't change anything. Sort
Well,
of,
that's
more
yeah.
or less, summarizing very well what that is not negative. I mean, I'm not saying in a negative way. Like, no, it's rubbish. No, I'm not saying that. I'm absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a Werner Herzog that says that he defines himself as the conqueror of the useless. So, like, and Mark also suggested some time ago a name for the team that we have with the prison. He suggested Sisyphus, if I'm not wrong, Mark. He said something like this. Totally useless, and you know already that you will fail. So, but it doesn't mean that it's not worth doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. No. The difference is just that sometimes I feel like I know, probably I was some more practical, I don't know, but
Well, this morning we were talking with Mark, and actually, it seems to be, as human beings, very important to us. At least this is something that probably we can share, the sense of honesty with ourselves. So, if we don't admit that it's impossible, that we are fighting for the useless, then probably I would feel not so much happy, honest with myself, in the sense that, I don't know. I think that it's really not enough. Not enough. Not because I want to do. I want to do. We want to do such a big thing. But you see that the resistance that you receive from these walls is so huge that just self-celebrating yourself for the things that you have been able to do. It's in a sense, a little bit childish. And although I agree with all of you that actually if we are ambitious of talking about systemic change, then of course we have to be very humble in the expectations we have. And that's, of course, I agree with that. But I think that probably reframing, as Jenny suggested, with the idea that we will fail, so it will be impossible. I feel myself kind of close to that. I don't know, Pedro is already laughing at that.
Well, I mean, I don't think it depends on how we think about success. If we are thinking of trying to of seeing life as a problem to be solved, well, we are never going to be successful. That's impossible. So, but if someone sees more as a question to which we can just be given answers continuously, then we may have success. The problem that I think is that sometimes we are not seeing the right question. How to say it? If we are just questioning or trying to answer to what we think are the forms of our system to try to change it, but without being critical about the dynamics that constitute those forms, the answers that we are going to keep giving, they are just going to reinforce the previous forms.
That's
Or at least they are going to transform it, but with the same dynamics. So we are not going to even make any successful answer that will bring us to another point.
That's very central pressure. Pedro, thank
But
you.
also, Paolo, can I mean, to what extent? I have a question that is a little bit provocative, and also it's a question that I've been asking myself a little bit, and also people I work with when we sense the same kind of degree of frustration and the feeling that whatever one does is not to some extent enough, or that yes, you're banging on a wall, different walls. But to what it, like, is it not the case that it's important to also ask oneself the question of where are my limits? I mean, to some extent, what conditions do I need to have or to find or to seek in order not to have a mental breakdown? And I'm talking about a mental breakdown because I do think that there's the type of work that you are doing and the stress and the also the frustration to some extent, in the sense that it doesn't matter what, but it is a process and of failure in the end against the big system. I think it's important to find ways of asking the question, how do we take care of ourselves?
Beautiful.
Because, I mean, are we not sometimes losing sight of that? And maybe, and this is something that I tell to myself, that sometimes it's fine also to be egoistic, to first take care of oneself, and then, and sometimes one does need to step out to stop doing certain things in the same way, or to stop doing things for a bit, just because you can't do them anymore because you're exhausted mentally, physically, whatever. So I wonder, and I think this is a problem. I think that so many people working in these kind of organizations, the prison, the university, the school, whatever, experience, and we can't really talk about that.
Thank you, Silvia. Well, Jenny, just when we were participating in the funding application, which is one other aspect of what you're talking about, she was showing me some conversations on WhatsApp and Facebook about people working for different charities and organizations and being totally burned out, you know, just because of you know, the kind of level of stress. And it's so interesting that in a world that is trying to be out of the business system, because charities should be out of that system, of that mentality, of that logic, still they are burnout, which is actually, you know, a way of framing people working in the business and getting burnout. So why can we burn out when we work for charities? That's a huge paradox from my point of view. Huge paradox. We should not be, you know, like that. If we are trying to bring another way of being through the work we do, because working is a pleasure. Working is not just sacrifice. It's a pleasure. So if we are burned out, it means that we are co-opted, and this is why I'm so worried about being an accomplice. If I'm burned out, if you know, this you know, translates on my physiology, then I'm a little bit worried. That's why I raised the question. So being stressed to me tells me that, of course, of my limits, as you are saying, Silvia, and this might need you know, a workshop that is actually for taking care of ourselves. Why not? And actually being able to face, to cope with the contemporary life in a different way, because we can't actually also embody the frustration of you know, being inside the logic of a job, of the business world. Because this is really a failure that I would not like to suffer. I would like, you know, to fail, but you know, with joy, being happy to fail, not sacrificing myself and you know, interpreting the part of the one that is working very hard and they doesn't get money and is suffering because it's difficult to work and all these things that everybody says. So if we are trying to bring another sense, another breath to the world, then we should be able not to burn out. Yes, and actually, you know, the workshops we are talking about, whatever we frame it, whatever, you know, word that we give to them, if it's workshop or whatever we want to call them, I think is probably a, you know, a way that something that we have to imagine together. Now, thanks for this opening. This, I think, that is really interesting. Yes.
Can I, sorry, can I just add
Now,
one thing?
we have some discussion. Good.
Sorry, just to add, I think
Yes.
for me, the workshops, a workshop can be anything at all. For these workshops to be useful, they need to be part of answering your question, Sylvia, answering the other questions. And for me, there are some guidelines, which is the primary one of which is perhaps all of us, prisoners, prison staff, senior managers, and us, we need to be brutally honest. Because one of the problems in society at the moment, why we're in such a desperate state, is because there's a lack of honesty, there's a lack of transparency. We talk a lot about respecting people, but for me, the only way you respect another human being is to listen carefully to what they say and then to respond in a brutally honest way, not an arrogant way, but an honest way. And if we can set up workshops in that way, and then we have to practice, each of us has to help each other practice that way of being within the conversation. And it may sound a bit motherhood and apple pie, but I think it's totally lacking at the moment in what we read in the media about whether it's international affairs or whether it's in business or whether it's in the health service. There is so much wasted language, dishonest language, rhetoric, which is grandstanding. There's a whole host of things going on rather than just honestly sharing and being prepared to fail and being prepared to say, okay, this is very dysfunctional. I accept this is very dysfunctional, or I accept that I'm not doing this right, but it's for these reasons. Let's understand. Because everybody in this, from prisoners to senior managers, are victims of the system in some sense. So if we are going to unpick it, and if these workshops are to have any value, to actually change something, they have to start from being brutally honest from each perspective and being prepared to be vulnerable. And for senior managers, and this may be a bridge too far with prisoners, but how much kudos would they get if they were able to share vulnerability with prisoners? Prisoners could see that actually senior managers are victims of the system as well. They're just in a different part of the system, being victimized by different elements of society. Because all of these things we talk about in the prison are present to some extent in education, in health, in other aspects of our society. So that, and if we recognize that, then it's a project really worth some energy and some time.
I will try to add. Oh,
Fiona, if does
Fiona, someone, Fiona? Fiona, please.
Well, I just, from the very beginning, I was thinking that you are being an ambassador for change, Paolo. But when I see Mark coming back from the prison, I've said to him often, I think it's really, really draining for you. And I don't see Paolo, but you see Paolo. And I think you have got so much experience now in how the prison works, in how the prisoners are feeling and how they're thinking and what it does to them to be shut up like that, that you almost have enough experience to be able to go out, and you've been talking about having meetings with senior management and people in the community. You have enough experience now to go out there and set up these meetings to talk about how we can change, how we would like to see society change. We've just come back from a retreat in the tradition of Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist tradition, Zen tradition. And in that tradition, you sit in a circle, they're called circle sharing groups, and there is always a pause between when somebody says something, they speak, and nobody interrupts them. And then when they finished, they bow or they indicate that they finished, and then there's a silence. And many people said, I mean, I've been involved in this kind of conversation for a very, very long time, because I originally started going to Quaker meetings when I was 21, 22. But many people who had never experienced this kind of meeting just said how wonderful it was to be heard in this way. knowing that it would not be challenged and that there was time to really think about what they wanted to say. Because it's not about responding to somebody else's comment. It's about really saying from deep in your heart what you want to share. And I think that kind of conversation would be, well, it's not a conversation, that kind of sharing would be hugely valuable if you had, as Ujay was saying, if you had the prisoners and the senior management and people from the community all in the same circle, I think it could be amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And just lastly to say, Paolo, you will have changed the hearts and minds of many people. As Amelia was saying, you have done a lot already. And you will always fail. you can't do it for everybody. You can't possibly. But you're setting an example of how we can be.
Thank you. Thank you, Fiona. Thank you. What you're talking about the way of talking from the tradition of Thich Nhat Hanh, somehow we tried to introduce this kind of very similar modality in the prison. You know, after a Feldenkrais session, we sit symbolically around the fire, and actually everybody is the same, and they share what they experienced without, you know, in a sense, asking any question, and no one needs to answer. And there's a time between people talking, and, you know, that makes a huge difference. So Pedro knows, Silvia as well, we have been working with that practice, because in a sense is a practice in itself. It can be a philosophical practice of really, you know, symbolically sitting around the fire, because it brings immediately the sense of a different way of talking to each other, and also of giving voice to yourself in a different way, where you are not challenged by the immediate critics or response from other people. So that would be great, I think. Also, you know, in thinking to workshops or meetings with people, bringing them in a way, in a modality which is different, because otherwise we just fall in presenting ourselves, saying things that we know. As Marx says, if we want to be brutally honest and you know, expose ourselves to being vulnerable, then we have to sit in that way. I know it's very difficult here, and because I would like everybody to be there, but probably, you know, the best way is to be together in person in that case, I think, because it's really the body, the body that is there at the same time, and this makes a huge difference. Although, as we have been, you know, habituated after COVID, you know, the modality of Zoom is helpful, but for sure it's not the same. I'm saying, because again, this could be probably, if we try to do that, then I don't know when we can do that, because I don't know how long it takes to organize an in-person meetings or a workshop where we are really together in a kind of retreat. But that would be the modality, you know, taking people out from the ordinary life and being together. And that makes a difference. That makes a difference, because it's the context that creates the possibility of talking differently, of being different. Because otherwise it's one of the many you know, workshops that maybe you add to your curriculum, and you learn something, it's true. But, you know, if we really want to propose something really meaningful, maybe we could dare or think in that direction. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, for sure, I think we've at least with the prisoners or the staff, or for sure with them, I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, of course, if you do it in the prison, but not, well, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, it's also because I'm thinking maybe about what Mark said about let them, the prisoners, also thinking that also the staff or the,
yeah, yeah, well, you know, to organize it in the prison
or victim or whatever, probably the thing that Fiona was saying, it's maybe can help,
yeah, yeah,
that feeling. You don't have to explain them
yeah,
that
no, of course.
are the victim of the
Of
system as
course.
well, blah,
We,
blah,
if we
blah.
think to I don't
But it's a
know.
sort of natural way of, because I think if someone is not used to, he feels vulnerable as well, probably. I don't know. So probably it's also a way, a little bit pushing of the feelings. I don't know. I don't know if I'm saying something right or not. But well.
Thank you. Yeah, no. Well, yeah. Well, this space is actually to imagine together, so not to find immediately, you know, what we have to do. But, you know, ideally to also have something directly in the prison and, you know, challenge the wall of the prison, being there, sitting all together, senior staff, prisoners, you know, members of Run Forever and other people all together. And sharing from different perspectives, you know, ideas and maybe practices as well would be great. Maybe one day dedicated with the different practices and also kind of around the fire conversations would be, you know, very, very interesting, I think. Well, just one thing to mention, just yesterday I was in the prison and I was running with a couple of prisoners and they were mentioning that spontaneously, there's a group of prisoners who starts to be kind of knowledgeable about health in different way, not just because they run, but they also know about nutrition. They started wanting to cook their own food. They also have a path on kind of a spiritual path. And although they don't belong to the same section unit in the prison, they know each other. So it's a kind of group of around 10 people, 10 prisoners. So as I mentioned to Mark this morning, it's a huge resource. It's huge that, you know, that it exists already, something in the prison that is growing. And, you know, our work could be just to coordinate and facilitate in a sense that this group will start to be there. And, you know, think into a workshop where we give a voice to them and not just to them, because when we think to education and not delivering, but actually being together, it means that we are learning together. It doesn't mean that we offer the opportunity to prisoners, which are different to us, to do something. This is really something that I really don't like. It's just being there with them to on a path together where we can create really a community of working together around the better health in the prison and not just in the prison, because actually they might have ideas that are helpful also for the outside, as we said before. So yeah,
Silvia. Paolo, I need to go, sorry.
Yes no, yeah. I realize now that we are, you know, we are going very late.
We need to wrap up.
I think there are really great ideas and thank you very much. We can continue for kind of long time, but this idea, we will develop them further. And for sure, the first that we would like to be there, it's you, all of you. I mean, that would be a next step. We have been, Mark and myself have been thinking a lot about the internal resources that we have. And, you know, we know individually each of you, and actually it would be great to make you be more part, direct part of our work. I know that you have so many other things and you live also far, so it's difficult, but actually I think that we are already a little community, like-minded, and it's, you know, what is worth if we can be more in touch and work a little more together. Yeah,
thank you all very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.